If your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not, you know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it? They go to people they respect.
Seth is being hired to do the job. We're there to seek the truth. We're there to get the truth, not to get Trump. T-R-U, truth.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity. The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
All right, thanks, Scott Shannon, and thanks to all of you for being with us. Toll-free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. A lot of ground to cover today. It is now so out of control in terms of violence in this country. And it's interesting because one of these radical left-wing groups took a hit at me and saying, it's going to continue. Well, it's simple math. If you defund, dismantle the police, and you get rid of bail laws, and then you make broad sweeping statements that you're not going to prosecute anybody that was involved in the rioting of last year. I mean, people throwing bricks and rocks and bottles and Molotov cocktails and worse, and injuring 3,000 cops, even people on video involved in looting, involved in arson. And then you cut the police by $1 billion or X number of millions of dollars. And then you send a message that, oh, we're not going to arrest you as long as you don't take $1,000 worth of stuff and you just get a ticket. Now we have people with garbage bags walking into expensive stores, filling them up with $929 worth of crap and then walking out and then coming back later and getting more free stuff. You don't have to be a genius, from MIT or Harvard to conclude that A squared plus B squared, defund, dismantle, no bail, equals C square, which is more crime and more violence and more mayhem and more misery and a lack of law and a lack of order and a lack of safety and security. And that means your pursuit of happiness now has gotten that much harder. It's simple math here. Reimagining the police. What are we going to do? What, there's a gang shooting? We're going to send in shrinks? You know, guys, now, before you pull the trigger, let's have a conversation here. Let's see if we can't work this all out. Let's deal with conflict resolution between the two parties. Okay, that's good luck with that, because that's not going to work. And I always ask, you know, one thing that's a very common theme all throughout my career, I always tell people, don't count on the government. Don't count on your Social Security money being there. Don't count on government health care in the end. Try and be as independent as possible. And then the question on law and order is very simple. What are you going to do? God forbid. What are you going to do if somebody breaks into your house and wants to rob you and bring harm to you and to your family? What are you going to do? What is your plan if you are driving and you're stuck at a light and somebody wants to, you know, bust your windshield open or your side window open and reach into your car? What do you do then? Okay, now, at least you have an option if there is a good police presence, especially in populated areas that are heavily concentrated. You know, that tends to serve as a disincentive. When you tell all the rioters from last year that injured all the cops and all the death that took place that you're not going to prosecute them, guess what? There's an incentive. You're emboldening criminal activity. At some point, you almost become a co-conspirator in all of this. So we'll get to that over the course of the show today. We got a lot of other ground we're going to get to, a lot of politics in the news today. I want to start with this. I want to get back to the COVID issue because I'm hearing it from everybody. Everybody is angry. A lot of people now feel like they've been lied to because the message, the mantra was get vaccinated and you are safe. Okay. What the media, I guess we have doctors everywhere with no medical degrees because with broad sweeping generalization, knowing nothing about one's medical history or medical, current medical condition, everybody needs to get the jab. Everyone needs to get the shot. Why? If you're not vaccinated, you're an idiot. You're an imbecile. You're a moron. You're this or that. And there's been a lot of pressure brought to bear on me to tell you, my beloved audience, what to do. And I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I barely know anything about my own medical condition, if you really want me to be honest. Although my best friends are doctors and they test me whether I like it or not. But long story short, if I don't know anything about your medical history and I don't know anything about your current medical condition, how am I at all qualified to tell people what to do? The answer is I'm not. And neither are any of these people. I need the politicians, media mob, big tech mob people. They're not qualified either. And I wouldn't want to be responsible if you had a rare condition. And we had, for example, the girl that wanted to go to BYU in Hawaii, and because of state law, she couldn't get a medical exemption when in 2019 she had had another vaccine. I never asked what it was. I felt it's too personal a question. And she was paralyzed for a month. There are certain people that can't take vaccines. Okay, that's not something that I would know. What if somebody has that condition? They hear me tell them what to do. They go out and get it. And then, okay, what if something like that were to happen? And I've asked many doctors, medical professionals on this show, are there rare cases where you do advise people not to get the vaccine because of their specific condition? And every doctor has said the same thing. Yeah, there are rare conditions. So I'm not in a position. You've got to find that out for yourself, which hence has been my mantra for a long time. Take it seriously. I've seen the worst of this thing. It can get, I know people that barely survived. It is, you got to take it seriously. That's not new for me to say that. I've been saying that the whole time. I've also told people that you need to do research. Oh, you mean I have to do my own research? Yeah, do your own research. You know, one thing I love about people that listen to talk radio, watch some of us on Fox, they're usually more well-informed than other people. And then you consult with your doctor, your doctors, factor in your past medical history, your current medical status and condition, and then you're going to have to make that decision in consultation with them, which is a smart way to approach any issue that could be life or death for you, because people die. We've had enough death. I'd rather nobody die from anything, which we could all live forever. But, you know, you want to protect yourself as much as possible and be smart. But now they're saying, so now we get the conflicting message. Well, now everybody, we're probably going to mask up again. Fauci's saying it. Missouri Attorney General is now going to sue St. Louis over the reinstatement of their mask mandate. Says it's time to stop the insanity. Officials in Michigan County, oh, we found out that they used virus money for bonuses. Isn't it nice to know that your politicians take such good care of themselves? Fauci, the Epic Times, FoxNews.com reporting that the CDC is now looking to change the mask guidelines for vaccinated people. In other words, recommending that fully vaccinated people wear masks again in public. And critics react, as Fauci has talked about this. And, you know, how many times has Dr. Fauci, the great Dr. Fauci, been wrong? Now, people are upset that some people are angry about this and upset about vaccine passports. You know, but probably it's a preview of coming attractions, what we see unfolding in France, where there's been thousands and thousands and thousands of people protesting their vaccine passports and other issues involved with the virus, and protests are raging all across Europe as lockdowns are returning, mask mandates returning, vaccination mandates are starting, and we got the tip of the hat, you know, where this is headed in the U.S. when Jen Psaki and Joe Biden both stated that if corporations or schools or universities, if they want to implement a mask mandate, that they're going to support it. More mask mandates, according to Fox News, likely once the FDA grants full approvals. And full approval is the FDA's strongest endorsement of a medication. But more vaccine mandates may be imposed across the U.S. once the FDA gives its final stamp of approval. Now, there is something, it's called freedom, and I happen to believe in freedom. And even in cases where people that I know and sit with and learn their medical history and talk to my doctors about a specific case, even if I said, you know, you're probably going to need this, that's still at the end of the day, it's going to be their decision. It's if you believe in freedom, you have to believe in that. Whatever happened, nobody seems to care at all about medical privacy anymore. Am I like one of the few Americans or public figures? Everyone wants to know, what's your medical status, Hannity? How about it's none of your damn business? I'm not asking you about your medical condition. I mean, where did this come from? Or what about doctor-patient confidentiality? Do we have the right to confidentiality? Anyway, so we're going to be watching all of this. And now finally, Biden is beginning to backtrack on the origins issue. And, you know, I've been getting hit in the media here, there, and pretty much everywhere. I love this, the views. I don't know how to pronounce that. Is it Houston? Sonny Houston? Calls Hannity's vaccination endorsement too little, too late. It's not true. I've been saying from the beginning, I believe in science. I've had a million vaccinations in my life. I believe in the science of vaccination. I really do. And I said it many, many times. Over at MSDNC, what they're saying over there, this was in the Blaze, there's an idiot percentage of this population that just needs to be told what to do. What America do they want to live in? And I mean, you're so morally superior and so much smarter than everybody else that everyone that doesn't agree with you is an idiot. And there's an idiot percentage of the population. Oh, that's right. We're the irredeemable deplorables. Oh, that's right. You know, we cling to God and our guns and our Bibles and our Second Amendment rights and religion. Look, you know, and what's really interesting, too, with all of that in the background, think of this, is that Biden's White House won't say how many Biden staffers have COVID. It was in the Epoch Times. They said, you know, they refused to release the number of COVID infections among vaccinated staff. Yet they made a big deal when Donald Trump was president, you know, breathlessly reporting how many people in the Trump administration contracted COVID. They've refused to release them. Now, my guess is probably because the number's higher than they want revealed publicly. Now, are there people that are fully vaccinated that are still contracting the virus? The answer is yes. And we're learning that from the CDC. Does it lessen the percentage of people that die? It does, according to the CDC numbers. I'll go over these numbers with you in a few minutes. And one irony is for the few people that they are testing down at the border, we have a high rate of COVID positivity, but then they're offering free shots. And FoxNews.com had an article, according to ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, they're offering the free vaccine to people. And the people, 30+%, a third of people at the border are saying, no, we don't want it. And then they're still letting them in the country. I mean, you can't make that up either. Where's the criticism of them for that? Where's the follow the science attitude there? Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program on this Monday. As we continue on this Monday, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You know, it's amazing. Think of, we're probably going to have to go back to draconian shutdowns. We're probably going to go back to mandating masks, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. The conflicting messages. Okay. Put aside the frustration that any rational person would feel especially everyone, once you get vaccinated, life goes back to normal. Okay. Put that aside for a minute. And then you go down to the border, and we're not testing the vast majority of people. Now, these are the highest numbers in 25 years of illegal immigrants that we know about, that we're actually recording. And there are others that sneak in other areas of the border because all the resources are concentrated in the processing centers. It's not catch and release. It's catch and process and say good luck, and we'll give you a bus ride. Which state would you like to go to? Oh, okay. Tennessee. We'll send you to Tennessee. Nice place. You might want to check out Music Row. But so you have a high rate of COVID positivity at the border. And then, of course, in the middle of a pandemic, you have Joe's Cages for kids, and kids are on top of each other. Now, they're offering many of the illegal immigrants, they're offering them vaccines. And a third, just shy of a third of illegal immigrants, no thanks, they're declining the vaccine, and then they're still getting into the country. Now, this is all while Americans were told one thing, and now an entirely different scenario is broken out. Now, if you could explain that to me, I'd love to hear from you in the course of the show today, because it makes no sense. And by the way, this would be good news, you would think, just like Florida did well. Their schools have been open a full year now. New York City summer school classes were virtually COVID-free. It seems things go in a little bit of waves. You get hot spots here and there. Anyway, we have a lot more to say on it because the bar keeps moving. Next.
Stops working for the good of the country. Sean Hannity with behind the scenes information on today's breaking news. Hannity is on right now.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour. I won't spend much more time on this. There are breakthrough cases. In other words, people that got the vaccine, the two shots or the one shot, but still contracted COVID. It is not the majority. It is a minority of number of people. But first, I'd like an answer because the CDC on their website, their data beginning May 1st, the CDC stopped tracking breakthrough cases. And doesn't the public have a right to know? It's just like, okay, Joe, how many people in the White House contracted COVID when everybody has been vaccinated, because everybody gives the broad sweeping, you must get vaccinated, without any knowledge of people's medical history, without any knowledge of their current medical condition, etc. Anyway, so they had breaks. So this only goes from January 1st through April 30th. And at that point, there were 10,262. The worry, the fear is that the new variants, the one we're hearing the most about is the Delta variant, but behind that is out of Peru, the Lambda variant. And from that point of time until they stop taking and keeping the data, total hospitalizations and deaths were 5,914. Total hospitalization, 5,601. And total deaths was 1,141. Lower than those that did not have vaccination. But now the CDC, if you go to cdc.gov, I'm reading directly from that website. As of July 19, 2021, more than 161 million people in the U.S. have been fully vaccinated. During the same time, the CDC received reports from 49 U.S. states and territories, of 5,914. Oh, so they're saying it actually was as of July 19th. This is a different page. Seems to be contradictory. But anyway, that's what it says on this page. And it says 5,914 patients fully vaccinated get what they're calling breakthrough infections, even though they were vaccinated. And of that, 1,529 of the 5,601 hospitalizations reported as asymptomatic, not related to COVID. 1,141 fatal cases reported as asymptomatic, not related to COVID. So I just don't really trust a lot of what they're saying here if they're deciding to post and then not post the data. Again, the best thing you can do is keep reading. Best thing you can do is take it seriously and follow the science. You know, this was a thing. Rand Paul was getting the crap beaten out of him for a while over the fact that he had had COVID, and he said, no, I'm comfortable with natural antibodies. Even if the antibody levels go lower, he was not uncomfortable because of T-cell antibodies, and he mentioned that to us on this program last week. We have some other issues. I want to remind you, we're going through this. I've talked about a three-step process for Republicans. And for any American, this shouldn't even be a partisan issue in my head, but it is for many, that you want election integrity and you want election confidence. And we've gone through and we've compared Delaware's very restrictive voting laws. Joe Biden never once lifted a finger to make voting in Delaware more accessible, to the very accessible law that was passed that he calls Jim Crow 2.0, that Stacey Abrams called the same and Raphael Warnock called the same. And meanwhile, they have 17 days early in-person voting. They have drop boxes in every precinct. Both states have voter ID. You don't need an excuse to get a mail-in ballot in Georgia. You do need one in Delaware. Delaware, no days of early in-person voting. It's crazy. And now the latest battle is over Texas. We watch these Democrats fly to Washington as they're filibustering. They are trying to urge Democrats to get rid of the filibuster. Does that make any sense? No, it does not. But when you look at, for example, the bill, again, this is the Texas bill. The bill bans paid ballot harvesting. In other words, third parties taking the ballots and delivering them. Now, why would you ban that? What is the motive of the person that is involved in the ballot harvesting? That would be, you know, simple, basic common sense if you want integrity in elections. Voter ID verification. Well, you need that in the state of Delaware, Joe's home state. He never once talked about changing his home state to get rid of voter ID. You know, alternatively, voters can provide the last four digits of their social security number in Texas if they prefer. The bill sets uniform times for early voting. They expand early voting hours on the weekend in Texas. They ensure that poll watchers are able to observe the vote counting start to finish. It strengthens, and that's Democrats, Republicans, if independents are on the ticket, any party that has a candidate on the ballot, they get to watch the vote count start to finish. It strengthens the ban on unmanned mail-in drop boxes. In other words, so you watch the drop boxes to make sure somebody doesn't come with 15 or 20 ballots and drops it in. It gives voters an opportunity, if they make a mistake on their mail-in ballot, they're given an opportunity to fix it. The bill requires those assisting voters with filling out their ballots, they've got to be transparent and verify their identity. That seems to instill integrity in my mind. It ends the temporary emergency measures that were put in place because of the pandemic, like drive-through voting and 24-hour early voting. That seems reasonable as well. Joe Biden literally called the bill the most racist thing to happen in the U.S. This century, since the Civil War. And yet this is a guy whose state has the most restrictive laws in the country. And but for me and a few others, nobody would ever point that out to you. And if Republicans can get this straight, are people looking for an advantage? No. I would think this benefits Democrats, Republicans, independents, whatever party you happen to be, a Reform Party candidate, Conservative Party candidate. It would offer integrity to the process. So then people can have confidence in the results, and then we get the results. Hopefully, we expedite the counting process and people move on with their lives, and then we worry about the next election when the next election comes up. But anyway, they made it down in Texas easier to vote. You know, Joe Biden's state of Texas, state of Delaware is not as easy as the Texas law that they've been trying to pass. In 5,000 years representing the state of Delaware, Joe Biden never lifts a finger to help anybody. You know, Joe Biden is talking about Jim Crow, the same guy that worked with the former Klansman responsible for filibustering the Civil Rights Act of 64. And he's fighting to stop the integration of public schools and school busing. Doesn't want public schools to be racial jungles. He's going to lecture everybody on Jim Crow 2.0. But again, Joe gets a pass because, you know, that's the way the media mob works. Karl Rove had a pretty interesting column about this. And the headline is that all these Democrats that were filibustering and preventing a quorum from being held down in Texas, that went to Washington to end the filibuster, which is pretty ironic. He has a lot of good questions. Do they oppose Texas's bill because it requires the polls to be open on weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays during early voting periods? You know, do the Texas Democrats that flew to Washington, do they oppose the Texas law requiring more counties to provide weekend early voting by lowering the threshold from counties with 100,000 population to counties with only 55,000 population? Do they oppose the bill making it easier to vote by mail by replacing signature verification process by letting voters provide alternative identification like the number of their driver's license or a state-provided ID or the last four digits of their Social Security number? They're making it easier for people, in other words. Do they oppose that the bill because it requires counties to notify Texans who vote by mail if they make a mistake on their ballot and giving them an opportunity to correct the mistake? That's not the current law that's in Texas. Because while they're all absent and, you know, collecting their pay of $221 per diem they get each day for attending a special legislative session, do they oppose this Texas bill from guaranteeing the right of poll watchers to witness the counting of the votes from all parties? What part of this specifically do they oppose? I mean, we've got the bumper stickers, we got the slogans, we've got the mantra, Jim Crow 2.0, but what part of it do they really oppose here? Now you actually have to get to the substance rather than the slogans, and the substance doesn't get them where they want to go, so I assume it's not good for them. On some other issues that we're looking at today, the feds, they're now facing twin inflation because if all of these new COVID restrictions are brought back, okay, well, that means we might have even greater inflation. That means that more people might be put out of work. That means that the deficit is going to get higher. And we're still, you know, everything we're buying right now, we're purchasing right now is costing more for a number of reasons. Number one, we can't get enough workers because of the additional unemployment benefits. Number two, the cost of a gallon of gasoline is up $1.25. It's the highest level in, 7 years. We're at an almost 20-year high in terms of the inflation rate. We have economists already talking about the misery index coming back, which we explained in detail last week. And one has to wonder, by the way, I don't know what this is. Apparently Joe Biden says, my butt's been wiped, when he was asked if there was a pathway to citizenship in the reconciliation process. Did we find that tape? There's no way that's true. There's just no way. It was in the, I don't know, some website that Sweet Baby James heard. I don't believe it. I'm looking at that. I don't think Democrats are liking the fact that Donald Trump tops Biden in the latest Rasmussen poll, but he does. Biden has hit a new low in the Gallup poll. Those numbers just coming out. Donald Trump is more popular with U.S. voters than Joe Biden. That's got to drive Democrats and the mob and the media crazy. ABC News has a poll. Optimism in the U.S. collapses after 6 months of Biden's presidency. According to their poll, a majority of the public say that they're pessimistic about the direction of the country. Optimism is now underwater by over 10 points And looking ahead to the next 12 months, fewer than half now report feeling optimistic about the way things are going in the country, a significant drop from about two-thirds. That's only going back to May. So that is a pretty dramatic and quick, precipitous decline. What else do we have here? Yeah, by the way, Ronnie Jackson is saying he predicts that Biden's going to be forced to resign because of his cognitive issues. Everywhere I go, people ask me what I think. I said, well, I usually turn the question on, well, what do you think? He doesn't seem all there. He seems checked out. And the answer is, yeah, he's kind of checked out. And okay, but now the Democrats, what's next for them? That would be Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is infinitely less popular than Joe Biden. And there's nothing that I've seen up to this point that tells me that I should have any confidence in her becoming the president of the United States. You know, if the president asks if there are people who think that we're sucking blood out of kids. Somebody yelled a question at Biden late last week. Are there people in the Democratic Party who want to defund the police? His response, are there people in the Republican Party who think we're sucking the blood out of kids? Where do these answers of his come from? Kamala Harris is, this was on Yahoo, facing an uphill climb to the presidency based on her poll numbers. I mean, literally, her favorability rating is 44%, unfavorability 46%. And it seems the more people see her, the less they like her. Doesn't seem to be doing a particularly good job on that front. And there's a lot of anger out there over all of these governors that put into place these executive actions on COVID, forcing COVID-positive patients into nursing homes. They got no investigation into New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, or Michigan. None whatsoever. Free pass. So when I say that we have a dual justice system and we don't have equal justice under the law anymore or equal application of our laws, now you know what I'm talking about.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
If your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not, you know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it? They go to people they respect.
Staff is being hired to do the job. We're there to seek the truth. We're there to get the truth, not to get Trump. T-R-U, truth.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity. New Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
All right, thanks, Scott Shannon. Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show, toll-free. It's 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. We have a lot of governors now trying to support border states because the Biden administration, I guess, they feel free to pick and choose which laws they want to enforce and which laws they don't want to enforce. Just like sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, we have laws on the books. It is illegal to enter the U.S. unless you have a visa, unless it's been approved. It's gotten so bad that not only did they stop the stay in Mexico policy and stop building the border wall, then catch and release comes back, but it's not really catch and release anymore. It's just process and release. Take your name. Okay, come in. I mentioned earlier the high rate of COVID positivity at the border. We've done all we can to show people the cages that are overcrowded with unaccompanied minors. And again, the high rate of COVID positivity, most not being tested for COVID. And in the meantime, we're getting lectures about mask mandates coming back, a lot of hypocrisy on the government side. And then those people that are down at the border where ICE agents are offering illegal immigrants free vaccinations, about a third of them now are turning down the vaccinations. Anyway, so it's been a tough uphill battle for border state governors like Greg Abbott. And we've interviewed him many times now on radio and TV about the problem. And, you know, what do you do when federal laws are not being enforced? So there had been a precedence where states cannot enforce the laws when the federal government fails to do so. And he's challenging that. The AG Paxton is challenging it now. In the interim, they've been building more border wall and allocating $250 million to start. Other states now, what's happening is they're transporting illegal immigrants in the dark of night. They're not even telling the states that they're doing it. And, you know, if you're in the continental United States, those 48 states, all of a sudden, illegal immigrants are in your state. They need food and water and shelter and health care and education. And basically, it then becomes the state's problem. But then if the state tries to deport them and enforce the law that Biden wouldn't enforce, that too becomes problematic. Now, in an effort to help the states that are on the border, a lot of governors have decided to send law enforcement and reinforcements in and the National Guard. One of them is Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota. She's now visiting with people that work down at the border today, and she is sending some South Dakota National Guard members down there to help in the state of Texas and the state of Arizona. Governor, welcome back to the program. How's things down south?
You know, it's been interesting so far, Sean. We've got National Guard that's been down here for several weeks now. And, you know, we just left a briefing that with the Border Patrol, Texas National Guard leadership in this sector, and then also my National Guard, some of them will go out to some of the checkpoints now and visit with ones that are in the observation posts and listening posts. But, you know, it's a reality here, right in this area. They're seeing a lot of families crossing. They're seeing a lot of people surrendering to Border Patrol. They're doing that because they're immediately given over and processed to NGOs that then help them be redistributed throughout the country. So just last week, they indicated they saw 20,000 people here just in this one area come through and be processed and sent out through NGOs across the country, and they will be moved more than likely in the next couple of weeks to a different sector where a lot of the pressure from the cartels fighting each other pushes a different type of population across the border, and that will be much more busy. It'll be a lot more single males and different reasons that people will be moving up into the United States, and also it'll be individuals that will not be surrendering themselves. More than likely, they will be illegal aliens that will try to evade Border Patrol rather than going up and turning themselves in.
Will you explain to me? I don't know why I have this belief. Perhaps I've just been living in a land of illusion, because I've always felt that I don't get to pick and choose what laws I get to obey and not obey. Or in the case of Joe Biden, they've decided not to enforce the law of the land. And then I would argue they take a step further. They're aiding and abetting in the law breaking by processing people and housing people and then transporting illegal immigrants to other states. Isn't that breaking the law? Isn't that aiding and abetting and law breaking?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we've known for a while our immigration system has needed to be fixed, but what they're doing now is changing policies that allow them to go around law. And there's even another title, Title 42, which allows them to detain single individuals right now that they're talking about repealing and getting rid of as well. So we anticipate that the pressure at the border is only going to get worse because once that change gets communicated back to Central America and where these folks are coming from, even more people will come north. Right now, they've clearly gotten the message they need to have a child under the age of 7 to cross the border and not be detained. But if the Biden administration comes forward and eliminates Title 42, then anybody can come and it'll be a free-for-all. So policies matter, too, as well as law. And I don't know if the Biden administration cares about either.
You know, and I've had a hard time understanding even criminal illegal immigrants that were put in prison. If you live in a sanctuary city or state and you get out of prison, the law requires that you get handed over to ICE. And then these states like California, for example, or the city of San Francisco, for example, and they just let people go free and they don't hand them over to ICE. I don't know. Wouldn't that be the equivalent of me hiding an assisting a criminal in not abiding by the law?
It would be if it was enforced, and that's what we see in different parts of the federal government today, is them picking and choosing which laws they're going to follow and enforce. And what's interesting to, I think, my soldiers down here is that they see the price on people's heads. They know from speaking with Border Patrol agents what these coyotes are getting paid to move people, single males around $500, children $200 a head. They could go up to $5,000 per individual. Depends on how bad they want to be escorted across. And many of these coyotes are coming through with 30 to 40 people at a time and then turn around and go get another group. So, you know, it's a real moneymaker, and they're not getting any pushback, so why would they stop?
Well, and then, of course, our border law enforcement agencies, they have these resources concentrated in basically processing people to enter the country illegally rather than doing their job and enforcing the law. That then renders the rest of the border free and clear for the gangs and the drug cartels and the human traffickers to go forward with their businesses, and they're doing it. And, you know, now more drugs are making their way into the U.S. We're losing, well, what, 300 plus people a week because of opioid addiction.
Well, that's what's interesting to me. So my soldiers will move to a different area of the border, and that is where a lot of the drugs are coming into the country through, and the trafficking is going on. That directly impacts South Dakota. The drugs in the Midwest are coming across this border. They're ending up through a lot of my tribal reservations and then being spread out throughout the Midwest there. And, you know, those reservations I don't have jurisdiction on. So our soldiers and our assets being here doing the work that they're doing is going to help protect my communities in South Dakota in a very
what are they allowed to do in their position down there? Are they allowed to apprehend?
Right now they're staffing and manning around the clock listening posts and observation posts. So what they are doing is indicating we have people out here in this area, calling law enforcement to come in and intersect. So they can be deputized, and we'll evaluate that if that's necessary. That allows them to partner with law enforcement. But what's interesting for me in the discussion today was how they all talked about how perfect National Guard are situated for the situation that they're in, how grateful they were that I sent National Guard, because they're trained for a mission. They're here for a long period of time. They all understand how to work as a team. And other law enforcement from other states can be deputized, but my National Guard can be deputized just exactly the same as they are. So what they like about the National Guard is that they're a unit. They understand the command structure. They understand completing a mission, doing their job, where a lot of times these law enforcement that may be coming from other states are part-time deputies from counties that aren't used to working as a team or as a unit and operating under their own set of rules or policies. And National Guard all have the same training. They all have the same background, and they understand when they get that new training, then they can use the authority that they have. So it's the potential within a week or two that my National Guard could be deputized, then they could be in a support role to local Texas law enforcement, which is what other states' law enforcement would do if they are deputized as well.
Has South Dakota experienced what many other states have, and that is, unbeknownst to you or the state, that illegal immigrants are being transported by the Biden administration into your state, which would then that has not happened in South Dakota?
Well, I've communicated with my NGOs that would not be acceptable. And they all have state contracts with the state, so they know that a good working relationship with the state of South Dakota is important. And so we've been in open communication.
Well, then how come these other states, like, for example, I've had both the governor and Senator Marsha Blackburn on this show. How come they're unable to prevent that from happening? Because in the dark of night, when nobody's watching, apparently large numbers of people are being dropped in the state. And then it's the state's responsibility to provide food and shelter and health care and education.
Well, I would say, Sean, that I had a pretty open and direct communication from my team to the NGOs that would participate in that kind of activity ahead of time, and told them that I did not want that happening in South Dakota, and that we have a working relationship today that would be unsustainable in a situation where we couldn't trust the work that each other was doing. So I think that kind of communication and stand is incredibly important. And I'm not going to say that.
Well, let me ask you, what would you do? Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan if, in fact, they decide to ship people into your state?
They have contracts that they have with the state of South Dakota for reimbursement models, operation models, different processes that happen, you know, within my Department of Social Services, Human Services, Child Care, Child Prevention, Child Protection. All of them have work that they do in those areas, and we have great relationships in South Dakota. I think that all of them recognize that they don't want that to change, and that's been the model. And it's much, Sean, like trusting people and working together. The partnerships we have in South Dakota has worked very well. I think it's unfortunate that doesn't happen in every other state.
All right, Governor, thank you. Appreciate you being with us. Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota, she's down at the border today, and like a lot of other states, has been providing support for border states that are just overwhelmed with this massive influx, the largest in 25 years, because Joe Biden and Democrats refuse to enforce the laws of the land. Governor, appreciate it. Best of luck to you, and keep us up to speed with what's going on down there. All right, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, let's hit our busy phones on this Monday. I can't believe it's Monday already. Let's say hi to Rogers in Georgia. Roger, how are you, sir? Glad you're with us.
I'm very good, Sean. Thanks very much for taking my call. I just came up, though, that the topic over the last 10 or 15 minutes was about the illegal border crossings and everything like that, and, you know, illegal human trafficking and everything. But my question to you is, if the Biden administration, if there is proven fact and evidence that they are transporting these illegals crossing, you know, into the country and taking them and dropping them off at different parts of this country, or the town, cities, where, isn't that a form of human trafficking? And aren't they working with the cartel that are actually supplying I mean, look at some of these illegals have cell phones, they have nice clothes and everything like that. They're getting paid. I mean, I just can't help to think that they're coming.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure, go right ahead.
What would happen if I did this?
Oh, well, we know the answer to that. If you or even myself, you know, or anybody in your office did that, if we did that, of course, we wouldn't see the light of day. We'd be confined in a jail cell probably for a good portion, if not the remainder of our lives, but they get away with it. And I would just like to think that there's somebody out there that has the nerve and the guts to stand up to this and do something about it, about what they're getting away with, and what people like you and I would lose everything that we ever had or we worked for in our lives. I mean, it's not fair. But these illegals, they've got to have contacts. They're not just being dropped off in the middle of a state, say South Dakota, for example, and not knowing where to go. There's somebody, I mean, is anybody following up on this? Project Veritas, and I'm well tuned to your station, you know, on the radio and on TV. I listen to Mark Levin. I listen to Michael's, all you guys. And, I mean, is there anybody that you may or may not know that's even looking into this? I mean, these illegals are not coming over here blindly.
The answer to the question is they have made a decision that they want an influx of illegal immigrants, and they're facilitating it. They're aiding and abetting in the whole process and not enforcing the law of the land and not upholding the oath of our Constitution. Sad.
For What's Right with America. We're back on the Sean Hannity Show.
8:25 to the top of the hour. 800-941-SHAWN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. As we promised, we will get straight to our busy phones. We'll start the great state of Pennsylvania. Michael is standing by. Michael, glad you're with us. How are you, sir? Happy Monday.
Oh, you too, Sean. A pleasure speaking to you. No, it was the thought that came into my mind, and I don't know if people have talked about it or not, but it's as simple as, why is it that they're so pushing for COVID vaccine cards and proof of the vaccinating shot, but won't make that same stance for voter ID?
Well, listen, this, you got to understand something here. You point out a great hypocrisy, right? Yeah, you're right. They want a vaccine proof. Everybody has to prove, but yet we were told that if you got the vaccine, that you're going to be fine. You don't have to worry about everybody else. Listen, this is a, they keep changing, you know, the bar keeps being raised to here and to there and to everywhere. Understand this, though, about why they don't want voter ID, signature verification, chain of custody control, why they don't want partisan observers observing, and all the other things we've talked about, and updating voter rolls. It's because I can think of no other reason except this, that they have nefarious intentions, and that their goal is to have as much confusion, and it create as much of an ability for them to do whatever it is they might want to do. Because you need voter ID for pretty much everything, as we've discussed. You want a pack of cigarettes? You need a picture ID. You want a jewel pod? You need a picture ID. You want to go to see Joe in the White House? You need a picture ID. You want to get on an airplane? You need a picture ID. You want to visit your congressman or woman at the Capitol? You need a picture ID. You need a picture ID to buy a six pack of beer. Even at my age, anybody's age. I mean, you know, I'm in my 50s. I'm like, oh, do you have your cards? Sir, do you have your license? Literally, to get a jewel pod, I have to have my license scanned in the state of New York, a picture ID. So the only reason I can think they don't want it is because they've got nefarious intentions. If somebody comes up with a better excuse than that, please tell me.
No, I totally agree. I just, like you said, it's amazing to me that you can come up with 1,000 reasons on why people can't get an ID, but they'll find it. They can give thousands of reasons that people can get a double shot vaccine. And that's speaking from someone who's gotten, you know, vaccinated, carry an ID, have done, you know, I find it amazing how, you know, in today's day and age that people think it's impossible to get an ID and or, you know, but it's possible to get a two shot vaccine within, you know, a set amount of time. So.
Well, I appreciate the call, Michael. You raised too many intelligent points for anybody in government, or for most in government, to actually comprehend it. Thank you. We say hi now to Bob is in Florida. Bob is smarter than all of us. If you live in New York and are as dumb as I am, you have to just acknowledge the fact that I'm an idiot and Bob is smart. Bob, how are you? Glad you called.
Doing great. Thanks for taking my call. I was just finishing up my McDonald's French fries here.
Ah, whoa. Now, do you have any kids?
Oh, my kids are all in their 30s. Yeah.
Okay, but if you had a kid or a grandkid, would you get the kid a Happy Meal at McDonald's to make them happy?
Oh, yeah, they grew up on Happy Meals. Oh, yeah.
They grew up on Happy Meals. Linda has a 5-year-old little boy. Cute as can be. He's all boy, this kid. He's a trip. He's a lot of fun. He's funny. He's fun. And Linda won't get her son a Happy Meal. And Linda thinks her son likes air-fried French fries better than McDonald's fries. And I'm like, he doesn't have any other reference point, baseline reference point. Now, you want to, Linda, if you want to weigh in, feel free.
Oh, I don't know. You and your caller seem to be having such a good time doing shots across the bow at me. I figured I'd let it keep going, you know?
Why can't you get the kid one?
He might not be able to even answer him. He's in the middle of eating French fries. They're so delicious, he can't take a breath.
Let me tell you, if I could eat McDonald's and pizza and crap all day and not have to worry about weighing 5,000 pounds, I'd do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat, but I'm pretty disciplined.
You're a ninja now.
That's true.
Everything is fine. Don't you know that fries have no effect on ninjas? Did you get the memo? It's breaking news, actually.
But weight does, so I have to make such considerations.
No. The caller's name is Scott, right? Is it Scott?
No, it's not. It's Bob. George.
George?
I'm Bob. It's actually Bob.
Hey, listen.
We have another Bob. We have George in Florida.
Three strikes, you're out.
Yeah, I know. Anyways. Bob, so what's your point?
So the reason I was calling is about all the nonsense at the border, you know, between, the cartels, you know, they're taking people's money and bringing their kids off and dropping them in the middle of the desert, and the people that are dying coming across the borders from that. But in this COVID, where they're not even testing these people or giving them shots, and they're sticking them on planes and driving them all over our country, who's not to say that that is where this new Delta variant has come from? And what culpability does the Biden administration have in all this?
I mean, it is ironic. The people that want to tell everybody else how to live their lives and with no knowledge of anybody's health condition, they want to make the determinative statement that everybody needs to do this. I just don't feel comfortable or qualified to do so, not knowing anything about one's medical history or current medical condition. Not only are they not testing everybody at the border, get this, FoxNews.com had an article that a third of immigrants detained by ICE and are in custody that have been offered the vaccine have declined to take it. In other words, Joe Biden's illegal immigrants, 30% of them, they're refusing their COVID shot, and they're still letting them in. You can't make this up.
And they're flying them across the country, all over the place.
Right. An ICE official confirmed that the vaccine, that the rate of illegal immigrants declining the vaccine that's being offered to them for free is 30%. And they still, you're right. Then they'll just move them to any one of the 48 continental United States. And those states then have to financially bear the burden and the cost of taking care of them.
It's criminal.
You can't make it up. I mean,
you're right. You can't make it up. It's insane. I mean, I could talk to you for days with all the stuff that's going on, but we figured just one subject here. And
all right,
like
Bob.
What
part of Florida are you?
I'm in Palm Harbor. It's by Clearwater, by Tampa.
Yeah, Paradise. Awesome. Oh, you got to try. What do you call it? Chicken salad chick. There's a couple in the Tampa area that you're gonna love it. It's chicken salad, every flavor you could ever imagine. But I got to run. Listen, thanks, Bob. There is a George in Florida. George, you're on the Sean Hannity Show.
How you doing, Sean?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing very well. Question, two-sided question, actually, kind of a legal thing. So we're not allowed to just cross the border anywhere we want, whenever we want, however we want. But illegal immigrants, obviously, are allowed to do this. Now, how come we're not allowed to bring some kind of suit against the government for unequal application of the law?
Well, there are states' attorneys generals. We have put on more state attorney generals in the last 6 months than I think at any other point in the show's history, because they're doing the exact thing that you just said, and that is they're bringing lawsuits. Mark Meadows and Stephen Miller, similarly, they have put together a group, and laws like this, when they're violated, they are taking them to court. The problem with the court system is it takes a long time to get from A to Z. And they're biting that's why they pass an executive action. You challenge it in court. You know, it might be 3 years before you even get the case heard. Again, I have a three-pronged strategy. First, we've got to restore integrity to our election system. The five things I just mentioned. Secondly, and that's key. Joe is already, you know, making the case all on his own by following the new Green Deal socialist model and weakness on the foreign stage. I mean, we see all the world's hostile regimes and actors doing pretty much anything they want against us and the entire world. And then you gotta lay out a vision. Elections are about the future, not about the past. How do we make America great again? What is the America First agenda? Spell it out. Republicans should run on a united ticket with a united agenda, and then we would be able to reverse the damage that is being done every day. Anyway, appreciate the call. Thank you. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. Also at the top of the hour, it's become an even worse nightmare in blue states, blue cities, crime out of control, people blaming guns. No, I'm going to blame defund, dismantle, and no bail laws. That's where the real correlation is. We'll get to that. Leo 2.0 Terrell and Trey Penny will be with us, and then we'll get your calls in also. Hannity, 9 Eastern tonight, Fox News, set your DVR. All right, back to our busy telephones. We've got another Florida call. Miami, Roberto. Roberto, welcome to the Sean Hannity Show. Glad you called, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you very much for coming to Miami and joining us on the fight for freedom for Cuba.
Well, I admire the people of Little Havana, the people down in Miami that are fighting so hard to get this done. It's incredible.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The media blackout's been beyond offensive to me.
it is the blackout, and it's unfortunate. I wish you just move your show and your TV show to South Florida. We'll welcome you with open arms, you and your entire team.
Maybe we can do it at the Versailles restaurant every day. And
you got
and
it.
We'll do radio and TV. We'll park ourselves at the Versailles and just hang out there till the regime is overthrown. That would be fun.
That would be great. Sean, the reason I call is I'm an American citizen that was born in Cuba in 1947. My father used to work for the Batista government, and they arrived here, and they left me behind for 9 months. I actually arrived in September 1959.
Wow.
I am a Marine Corps veteran.
Yep.
My son is
Semper
a Marine
Fi.
Corps veteran, and it's wrong. And my grandson now is serving his base in Okinawa. So the reason I'm calling that... Ocasio-Cortez is totally ignorant of what's taking place in Cuba at the present time. It's got nothing to do with lifting the embargo. It's got to do with just freedom. Ocasio-Cortez walks in a country that she can trash mouth our president or anybody in order. Try to do that in Cuba and see what happens.
Yeah, you'll probably disappear and never be seen or heard from again. I think that would be a pretty good guess.
So that's how ignorant Ocasio and all these liberals are talking. In Cuba, in the island, if you want to move from one apartment to another, you have to get permission from the state to move. I'm not talking. You can look this up. It is illegal to talk against the regime.
That's correct.
It's in their constitution.
That's correct.
And it's also illegal to own even a hunting weapon.
That's correct.
That's why the Cuban can't defend itself. So basically, if you listen, and I keep telling people, I got four individuals in my lifetime. One is Fidel Castro, one is Hugo Chavez, the other one was the guy in Bolivia, and the Sandinista. What did they do, Sean? They promised everything for free. Look at the countries.
Look at Cuba, for example. If Cuba became free today, and they remove these draconian, statist, authoritarian, you know, everything that the murdering communist regime of the Castro brothers established. If they removed it, let me tell you what Cuba would be look like and what it would look like in 5 years. You would have resorts. You would have tourism. You would have revitalization of the entire island. And it would be transformed pretty much overnight. And you would see people from the United States and around the world flocking to the beautiful beaches that are known in Cuba. It would be transformational for every Cuban citizen. Their lives would be, instead of a dollar a day, they're going to get real wages and have a real way of life. People will be able to get milk and eggs and the bare necessities that everybody else takes for granted here in this country. But you're right. And I think it's very telling. The people that lived under this tyranny are trying to warn us. And these very same false promises that everything's going to be free and security is going to end in more poverty and limited freedom. That's the way it always ends, unfortunately. Anyway, Roberto, our prayers are with our friends down in Miami, Little Havana, and the people of Cuba, that Cuba can one day be free again. Quick break, right back. Your calls on the other side, straight ahead.
Jesse Kelly coming up tonight from 6 to 9.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone. Tomorrow from 10 a.m. till noon.
On 710 WOR.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
If your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not, you know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it? They go to people they respect.
Seth is being hired to do the job. We're there to seek the truth. We're there to get the truth, not to get Trump. T-R-U, truth.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity. The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America. Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. You know, everybody, it's interesting. If you listen to the left, they will tell you that the rising crime rates in cities and states, mostly blue cities run by governors that are Democrat for decades and states run by Democrats for decades, that it's probably the firearms. We now need to think about eliminating the 9mm pistol because they have magazines with a capacity of 120. No, Joe, I carry a 9mm sometimes, and I hate to tell you, yeah, I only have 10 clips in the magazine, and I've never heard of a magazine for a 9mm pistol that has 120 bullets in it. And how do you conceal that, Joe? You know how big that would be? Anyway, a lot of dumb statements being made. Rather than the obvious, the record crime that we're witnessing in all of these states and all of these cities, and remember, you can't pursue happiness if you don't have law and order and safety security. You just can't. And it's an unmitigated nightmare. There's a former FBI agent, Danny Colson, former deputy assistant director of the FBI, led the 95 search for the arrest of the Oklahoma City bomber, Tim McVeigh. He said that he and other FBI agents, they have very grave concerns about the Bureau. And he says he's very upset the FBI has not arrested. And now a lot of statements have been made in a lot of these cities where nearly 300 riots took place last summer. Even though we have incontrovertible evidence and videotape proving that the people are responsible for pelting cops with bricks and bottles and frozen water bottles, they're not going to arrest them. Even people, you know, involved in arson and looting, we're not going to arrest them either. We're not going to even charge these people. Well, what do you think that's going to result in? Do you remember back last summer where they're taking this little toy pig and they're taunting the police officers and hurling insults? This was last summer. Nobody batted an eyelash. And now cops, they're under assault. Why? Because they know they can get away with it. Listen.
What's your bag number?
You got a partner too? Oh, I like that. You got a partner, yeah. That's sexy. I like the fact that you got a partner. You 60 credit dirty for this dirty mother. When we catch them and a dirty allegation, that's a pig. That's a gift for you.
Or literally just, you know, vandalizing cops' cars in front of the cops or taking buckets of fluid and pouring them on top of cops with impunity. And even though we have the video, the people never get arrested. I mean, and then you got the great hypocrisy. Remember, after everything that happened in Minneapolis, well, what happened? They started spending tens of thousands of dollars to protect city council members while they're simultaneously defunding the police. Now, the New York Police Department, which had a $1 billion cut in their, for their department, you know, now we've got an NYPD releasing the image of three teenagers accused of launching a vicious attack on a firefighter. What was the guy? The guy was walking his dog. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. Robbery suspect seen rifling through an unconscious man's pockets. You got people now being cold-cocked in broad daylight, and nobody lifts a finger, and there's no cops that to be found, because the cops that are on the job, if they should turn left, because that's where the trouble is, they're going to probably make a right turn and stay away from it because they know they're not going to have any support whatsoever. I mean, you have now literally the Robert Conti is the Washington, D.C. police chief saying enough is enough. You got to stop coddling these violent criminals. Listen.
Enough is enough. I've been a police officer in this city for over 30 years. I've been born and raised right here in this city. Started my patrol career right here in this district. And the way that we're going and the things that we're trying to do, we want to help people. Yes, we should. But you cannot coddle violent criminals. You cannot. You cannot treat violent criminals who are out here making communities unsafe for you, for your loved ones, for me, for my loved ones. They might not want a job. They might not. They might not need services. What they may require is to be off of our streets because they're making it unsafe for us. And if that's what it requires, then that's what it requires. And we have to own that. We have to own it, because if not, we see more of this. We see more of this in our communities. And then what happens? When someone's shot, you know, people are outraged by it. I'm outraged every time. Every of those 922, a lot of those 198 that died of that, I stood over many of those. Many of them. Watching families suffer when they don't have to, because we're putting violent criminals or allowing them to be back out in community. That's unacceptable.
All right, joining us now is Sergeant Trey Penne, 21-year vet, Dallas Police Force, president of the Dallas, Texas National Fallen Officer Foundation, Leo 2.0 Terrell, civil rights attorney, Fox News contributor. You know, Leo, we get back to the same argument, is that if you can't politicize it, you're not going to learn the name of the people that are involved in the crime or the people that are victims of the crime.
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, other than your television program, Fox News, your radio program, you never know of these victims because, as you stated correctly, unless you got that unbelievable scenario, very rare, white officer, black suspect, you're not going to get the Al Sharpton, you're not going to get CNN, you're not going to get MSNBC. And that's the game that they play. And you mentioned in your monologue, everything. There's one thing that you should point out also. These Democratic mayors have private security. They got massive prior security. But the people who they represent, who they govern, primarily black and brown people, they don't have private security. They don't get that privilege. So you hear these black Democrats, especially in San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Chicago. Why don't they take care of the minority people they represent? They talk a good game. And I'm going to tell you right now, that Washington, D.C. police chief, those are crocodile tears, Sean. There's been shootings going on all last summer. And all of a sudden, there's a ritzy part of town, and he goes out there complaining. Call out the Antifa. Call out Black Lives Matter. Call out your mayor who defunded the police. Those are crocodile tears. I want some consistency from Democratic mayors, Democratic police chiefs in these Democratic cities. Until they criticize those leaders, they're nothing more than pawns for AOC and the progressive left.
Let me get your take, Trey Penne. I mean, I'm beyond frustrated at this point. And, you know, when people ask me, well, what do I do? My answer now is they're not going to fix it. There's no appetite to stop it, because if you got criminals on videotape, that's an easy guilty verdict, and you're not going to prosecute them. That encourages even more crime and more violence. If 3,000 cops can get injured and not a single person is held accountable, if you burn down police precincts and not a single person's held accountable, well, every criminal knows there's no consequences for their actions. So that just encourages them and entices them and enables them and emboldens them to just keep doing what they're doing.
Right, right. Sean, you know, you hit the nail exactly on the head. In fact, the people in the community know this very thing. We just had an incident in the community where a kid got killed. And look, the whole community's out there, and they see what's going on. But the fact of the matter is a lot of these people can't leave their communities, right? These violent offenders are constantly reoffending over and over again, and they're being released back into our community. And there's nothing that our police officers can do. Look, just think about the statistics and where we are right now. We saw a 24% increase in homicides across the country. 22% of them have been with a shooting-related violence. We have to do something about that. We got to do something about these violent offenders to keep them locked up. Because when they get out, all they're going to do is keep doing the same thing over and over again. And there are no police can't be everywhere. We got to stop making our police the everything in or the end all for everything, because it's essentially not going to happen. We can't. The only thing we can do is be responsive. We can respond to crime, but we can't police. We can't be proactive to prevent the crime from happening, because guess what? It's not enough of us, and we can't predict where these violent offenders are going to be. So, Sean, we have to do a better job of going after these political officials, these liberal mayors, these liberal police chiefs that are putting our police officers on the front line and are not holding these criminals accountable. We need to do something about that.
Quick break. We'll come back more with Leo 2.0, Terrell Moore with Trey Penny. Then your calls, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program.
He's not a great golfer. He's a mediocre tennis player. But he's pretty good on the radio. Sean Hannity is on right now on 710 WOR.
We continue with Sergeant Trey Penny of the Dallas Police Force and Leo 2.0 Terrell. You know, Leo, when I was down in Miami for the live show that we did, now the governor was there, Senator Rubio was there. There was a heavy police presence, a lot of people there. There was a huge crowd there. And I just went out of my way. I really did. And I usually do this. This is standard practice for me. But really, I wanted to go out of my way to say hello and thank you to every law enforcement officer. Now, in Florida, Governor DeSantis actually gave the police and all law enforcement agencies $1,000 bonus.
Yeah.
And it means a lot to the police to know they have the support of the community, because these are people, they signed up for a dangerous job to protect and to serve. They want to do their job. They're willing to do that job. But in other states, New York City, perfect example, Los Angeles, perfect example, cops can't do their job, and they know they can't do their job, and the criminals know they can't.
Exactly. And you know what, Sean? I go out of my way, and whenever I see a police officer, I either wave, or when I come up to them, I say, thank you for your service. But, you know, it's not just the police. You just mentioned my city, Los Angeles. How about San Luis? How about New York? How about Chicago?
By the way, it's not anybody else's city. I want everybody in L.A. to know. This is Leo 2.0 Terrell's city. L.A. is his city.
Yeah. They all have something in common. They got weak prosecutors, D.A., who basically are friends to the criminal. That situation in San Luis, Missouri, is a crime in and of itself, where the city attorney, the prosecutor, basically allow criminals to walk. Same thing in New York, same thing in Chicago, same thing in Los Angeles, where we're trying to recall the prosecutor. You have to have a strong, supportive police department. You have to have a prosecutor who's going to prosecute crimes. We don't have those in Democratic cities, because the blueprint is quite simple. Antifa and Black Lives Matter makes up the base of the Democratic Party. One final point. Even in Los Angeles, the DA has put a Black Lives Matter personnel representative on this police shooting board. Good luck to see if he's going to ever find a justified shooting.
Yeah, forget it. It's never going to happen, right?
It's never going to happen.
I've also, I'm looking for alternatives. I've talked at length about more training for cops, Trey. I've talked about alternatives, non-lethal alternatives. I've shown on television. I own, and yes, I pay for them myself. Everyone thinks if I mention a Hannity must be profiting off this. No, I'm not profiting off it. It's a really good alternative, safe alternative, non-lethal alternative. That's that burner gun that I told you about, Trey?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think police officers need another option because a taser's only, you know, close quarters. But what if the person's 20 feet away, 25 feet away? With pinpoint accuracy, you can pelt them with one of these projectiles with tear gas and two pepper sprays, and it immobilizes them.
Yeah, you know what? In fact, we had a really big push with the pepper ball gun for a long time where we were, you know, we didn't want officers in these close quarter encounters, so we allowed them to shoot them with the pepper ball gun, right? And that's less than lethal. But what happened was people started getting hit and they complaining. And that's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to get hit. When you're out here involved in a violent protest and you get hit with that pepper ball gun, it'll make you'll think twice about it, right? But the problem is, as these individuals that are out here creating all this violence and rioting, as they start protesting and getting their city councils and city leaders involved, guess what they do? They go and put these moratoriums on restrictions on law enforcement, so they can't even use a pepper ball gun anymore. So that's the problem that we're having. And we've seen this cycle over and over again where we'll have these peaks in crime and we want police to respond to it, and they respond according to the use of force guidelines. But then if it's something that doesn't look good on camera, then they end up coming back on a police officer. And I think we have to be smart about the way we do business now, Sean. Unfortunately, our politicians, our leaders are not being smart, and they're giving too much leverage to the criminals. You know, I grew up in the during the '80s and nineties, growing up in the projects or the inner city. You know, during the crack epidemic, if you think about how we attacked issues back then to get a hold of that, we locked people up. That's when we saw the increase of private prisons opening up around the country. But now you fast forward in this age where everybody want to feel good. Now Obama, starting with Obama, is when they start shutting down these private prisons. So now we got all these people talking about we have nowhere to put prisoners. Now we got to let them back into society. You know what that's doing? That's killing our society.
You know what it is?
On our police officers.
We're losing part of our American family, especially young people, our national treasure. And this should transcend all politics, but like everything else, everything is viewed through the prism of politics. Trey Penny, thank you. Leo 2.0 Terrell, thank you. We always love having you both on the program. Quick break, right back.
Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
At 9 p.m., do you know where your president is?
I don't know.
Yep, he's sound asleep in his bed with not a care in the world. Must be nice, Joe. The rest of us will keep working. You're on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. Now, it was pretty amazing when the poll came out that showed 57% of Americans don't think Joe's in charge and Joe's running the White House. And what's amazing about it to me is the rest of the media, short of a few shows on Fox and talk radio, the rest of the media is not highlighting Joe's mumbling and bumbling and confusion. And one of my biggest arguments has been is just because the mob and the media and big tech, just because they ignore it doesn't mean it's not happening. And I've said, for example, hostile regimes like in Russia with Vladimir, hostile regimes in China with President Xi, hostile regimes with Kim Jong-un and the mullahs in Iran. Do you think they're going along and with the phony media narrative that everything is just, you know, swimming with Joe Biden? No. Imagine if fake news CNN and MSDNC, now they'll never do it. Imagine if they too were showing the montages and the verbal gaffes and mumbling and bumbling and confusion of Joe the way we do. That number 57, That 57% probably would be 87%. Now, I say this because our enemies are on the move. We see the cyber attacks by Russia. You see with President Xi, they're threatening our military bases in China right now. They're threatening Japan's military bases. They're lecturing us because we landed an airplane in Taiwan, but apparently China thinks we need to go through them to get permission to do so, as they discuss, quote, reunification with Taiwan. Taiwan does not want reunification. That would be called an invasion in under any other scenario. What would Joe do if, in fact, these geopolitical ambitions are, you know, China begins to make the move because they're giving every indication that's the direction that they're headed. You know, Crimea, the border with Ukraine, Putin's back showing military aggression on that border. It happened under Biden and Obama. Nothing like this happened under Trump. I can tell you one of the main reasons. I think there was a genuine respect and a fear that Donald Trump would do it, whatever it is. They don't have that fear of Biden. It's obvious they don't have the fear of Biden. Joe Biden is helping the uranium mullahs. What? Now they're enriching more uranium so that they can get a nuclear weapon. If you marry nuclear weapons with radical Islamists that buy into a sick, twisted, ugly ideology, either convert or die, and threaten to wipe Israel off the map and the U.S. off the map, why would he be pressuring South Korea, as he has been, to give the Iranian mullahs $7 billion? None of this makes sense, but the world sees that Joe Biden is a cognitive mess. They see it. There is a guy out in Australia, he's a news anchor, his name is Alan Jones. He sees it, and he's saying it.
But the president just said, listen to this, you're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
That's not true. But the bloke's unchallenged. And then this incoherent rambling about men on the moon and aliens. Listen to this embarrassing diatribe.
You got the vaccination?
Yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, you seem, no, it works. Or, you know, or the mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're, I really mean it. There are trusted interlocutors. Think of the people. If your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not, you know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it?
What? Man on the moon, something. What the hell has this got to do about anything?
This guy sees it. So does Putin. So does Xi. So does Kim Jong-un. So do the mullahs. And frankly, I've been waiting and ready for the attacks because we've hit Joe Biden hard on this issue because it's so transparent. It's so obvious. I have in my possession that I'm going to hold back for now what I call the master reel. It's hidden in a safe deposit box in an undisclosed location, and only two people have the key. One of them is me, but if, you know, I go missing, I have to have somebody else. But it's no longer an issue. And even with the media protecting Joe, everybody sees it. The world sees it. He's right. It's humiliating. And it's also dangerous. You know, I was joking about it for a while. I'm not joking about it anymore because it's really not funny. It's a precarious situation when you have the leader of the free world in this cognitive state that Joe Biden is in. And it's a matter of, you know, you could see that his staff and Democrats, they're like, okay, please, come on, Joe. You know, it's creating panic attacks among Democrats that he's not going to be able to hold it together much longer. JD is in Ohio. JD, glad you called. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Mr. Hannity, how are you doing today?
I'm good, friend. What's going on?
Well, you know, okay, first of all, I'm in my 40s. I'm a kind of a punk rocker guy, you know, rock and roll all the way and all that. But what's really concerning me is the amount of lies that I see from the left-wing media. Mostly like I heard on NPR where they're pulling excerpts from your show. I'm like, wait a minute, you're telling us the right wing's just now coming around to vaccines? No. Kennedy's been talking about this for months and months.
Listen, some people got mad at me when I said masks don't bother me. And I said it pretty early on. And the reason I said masks don't bother me, I said if it gets me back to a concert, a baseball game, if it protects mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, after they first told us, the great Dr. Flip-Flop Fauci, that they don't work at all, I said it just didn't bother me that much. And now some of my friends have bothered, and some it still bothers. But the idea, I mean, who is supporting Operation Warp Speed? That would be conservatives. That was Donald Trump's agenda. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had any vaccine to offer people to choose in a free country to get after I recommend they do their research. First, I'm telling everybody, take it seriously. Do all your due diligence, research. If you have a phone, you know, spend any spare moment you have and you can read up on anything. We've talked about therapeutics from hydroxychloroquine to ivermectin to Regeneron. And we brought on medical doctors and professionals that know a lot more about these things than I do as a means of giving you information, and what you choose to do with it is then going to be up to you. We've gone over the various vaccines that are available, Pfizer, Moderna, mRNA viruses versus the J&J shot, Johnson & Johnson. But at the end of the day, all those people pressuring me to tell everybody, broad sweeping generalization, I know nothing about your health history. I know nothing about pre-existing conditions you may have. I know nothing about your current medical status. And they want me to tell you what to do. I'm telling you to take it seriously. Do your research. Consult with your doctor or doctors, medical professionals you trust. And then based on make an informed decision. I also believe in freedom. I believe in the right for people to make their own decisions based on their set of circumstances. I don't believe in mandates of any kind. And I don't believe in vaccine passports of any kind. I believe in medical privacy. I believe in doctor-patient confidentiality. And I've been very clear on these issues. Are there examples, as we discussed earlier in the program today, where people have been fully vaccinated and still contract coronavirus? Yeah. Do the early numbers seem to show a much lower incidence of the risk of death? The numbers show that too. But again, all of that information is out there and available to you. And I don't know if if I ever gave out information and people listen to me, if you're listening to me, you're gonna do a lot of smart things. Number one, this is no joke. I've seen the worst of it. Take it seriously. If you listen to me, you're going to do a lot of research and reading. If you listen to me, you're going to talk to every medical professional, your own doctor, doctors that you trust. If you listen to me, then you're going to make a decision from a point of you being well informed. And it seems to be, you know, a moving target. One day they're saying, if you get vaccinated, you're good to go. You don't have to worry about other people. Now they're saying, well, we may have to bring back the mask mandate again. The people that keep changing are the experts. The people that got it wrong from day one have been the quote experts. You know, the leading quote expert that has been the most wrong on the public stage has been Dr. Fauci. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt for as long as I possibly could. And I just tried to accept that, okay, there's things about this we didn't anticipate, we didn't expect. It is, you know, it's art as much as it is science sometimes. You make predictions, but you don't know a particular virus. Then we find out about American money going to the Wuhan virology lab. Then they knew coronaviruses were being studied there. They knew gain of function was happening there. Well, you know, to me, it's like unforgivable to me that we're sending China any money for anything. But, you know, so I'm really, there was nothing new. And then the media said, Sean Hannity telling his audience to get vaccinated. I've been saying the exact same thing for a long time. I am not qualified to tell you. I'm not a medical doctor, but I feel compelled to warn you this. I know people that have been on ventilators and barely made it, barely survived it. And let me tell you something. It's heartbreaking getting hourly updates. How's she doing? How's he doing? How's she doing? How's he doing? What's the oxygen levels? What's the saturation level? What's the temperature? I can't even tell you how many countless hours I've spent on the phone talking to people, the information that they didn't even know was out there and available. I can't tell you how many doctors I've called upon to consult with free of charge every time, people that I know needed information and help. I did it again this weekend, and it was actually our friend Dr. Fareed that he probably spent an hour of his day on Saturday to help somebody that I care about who's 74 years old and had no knowledge of what therapeutics were out there and available. And since then, he's gotten Regeneron, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, I forget the name of the steroid, Dexa something, I forget the name, but and then he's told to take zinc and vitamin D3 and vitamin C and quercetin. And so those are the protocols that proactive doctors are using, and they're furious and apoplectic. And these are people in the trenches. They're on the front lines of this. They're actually handling COVID patients every single day. You know, then they're not sitting back and, you know, in between television hits and radio hits, telling everybody what to do and then changing their mind the next week. I mean, these people have been consistent, and they have found that the therapeutics as they have developed have been extraordinary in terms of helping people, preventing death and preventing severe cases of COVID. I am pro-life. You know, when I said last week, these dopey Democrats from Texas, and they're flying up, they're filibustering in their state so that they can talk the Democrats into filibustering. In other words, they're trying to say they don't want the filibuster where they are, but they're filibustering. And then they want the Democrats to eliminate the filibuster. You got to be kidding me. And then some of them got COVID, but I was sincere. I don't want anybody sick. I don't want any Americans dying. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program.
Asking the left and holding the right accountable for their promises. America needs Hannity now more than ever. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
That's going to wrap things up for today. Hannity tonight, we hope you'll set your DVR, 9 Eastern, Fox News. We'll get into the latest on COVID. Ronnie Jackson, he doesn't think Biden survives his term. Dr. Nicole Sapphire also updating you on all things COVID. Janice Dean from Fox will join us as the Biden DOJ just says, no, we're not going to investigate New York or New Jersey or Pennsylvania or Michigan and their executive actions that forced people with COVID into nursing homes. Lindsey Graham, Herschel Walker tonight, and Ron Johnson, 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News. Hope you'll join us. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tonight back here tomorrow.